I thought we would extend in our study on lay Christian ministries. We got some positive feedback and found that it was very encouraging. And so we're dealing with other exemplary biblical effective lay ministries. Tonight we're dealing with other women who are lay in lay ministries. And next Sunday night we'll finish it out by dealing with other men. Men who, these are people in the pew rather than people who were behind the pulpit at all. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 teaches that God uses starter gifts today, that would be evangelists and pastor teachers today, to equip the rest of the church body to do the actual work of the ministry. In Ephesians chapter 4, 11 and 12, I don't know if you have a Ryrie Study Bible or not, but Dr. Ryrie says that you should take the commas out of verse 12 so that it reads, "Some he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry for the edifying of the body of Christ." So the saints actually do the work of the ministry. The man in the pew is the one who does the work of the ministry. Very interesting. Well, anyway, it's edifying to review the lay ministries of early church believers in addition to Aquila and Priscilla. And we continue by viewing how God used other women in the early church effectively. Often I've talked with ladies and sometimes they feel that they're not that effective or don't have that much of a ministry or influence, but that couldn't be further from the truth. I really believe that God uses women. They may not be deacons and elders, obviously. They can't be in a situation. They're not supposed to be pastors and those who are leading evangelists and so forth. But nevertheless, they can have a great amount of influence in the body for Jesus Christ. The first passage we want to look at is Romans chapter 6, 1 and 2. It describes the lay ministry of Phoebe as that of a protectress or patroness of needy believers. I'd like to read the verses and then we'll look at Romans chapter 16, 1 and 2. "I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant or a slave of the church which is at Centria, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, and that you assist her in whatsoever business she has need of you. For she hath been a succorer," that's the old King James English, "of many, and of myself also." Okay, some evangelicals teach that Phoebe was in church leadership in the office of deaconess, the word diakonos being used of her in Romans chapter 16, 1. Now, diakonos actually originally means servant, but it later became known as the office of deacon. And so those who believe in having women deaconesses, there are some churches that actually have an office of deaconess, where the woman actually serves on the board because of this verse. However, women were not supposed to exercise authority in the church. The Apostle Paul, and we believe Scripture is consistent with this, and the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 says, "I do not suffer, I do not permit a woman to teach or to exercise authority over the man, but to be in silence." So since that's the case, we do not believe that Phoebe served as a deaconess in ministry over men. So the word that actually, another definition for diakonos here is the word helper. And we believe that's exactly what Phoebe was doing. She was helping. That would fit within the culture of the day. That would also fit within what is revealed in other passages in the New Testament. Now, Paul urged Roman believers to assist her in whatever need she had, for she had been a succorer. That sounds like a strange word to us. That's an old King James Version one. But the Greek word is prostatis. That is a protectress or a patroness or a helper. A protectress is someone, this would be a woman who would work to protect people. Let's say there were people who were fleeing from persecution, and so she would hide them in the house and nurture them, feed them, clothe them, and so forth, give them bedding and so forth. Or this would be a woman who was a patroness, someone who helped financially, would support an individual who is in desperate need, or a helper. So Phoebe had exerted a lot of quality effort to help needy believers by way of providing food, clothing, medical help, etc., as needed to offset poverty or even suffering caused by persecution for the faith. And the apostle directed that other believers assist her in her important work. When we had slavery in the United States, often there were people that would protect blacks as they fled from slavery, and they would hide them in their homes. And the signal that they were a place of refuge would be a statue of a black man standing out holding a lantern. I don't know if you've seen these, but some yards have them. And that's a signal that they were a home, or if the slaves were running away, that they would be open. They wouldn't turn the slaves in. They could hide there on their way, and they were fleeing up to Canada. This is before the Civil War and during the Civil War as well. But Phoebe was this type of a person. She would help Christians who were suffering. So the Apostle Paul felt that her ministry was very, very important, and that others assist her in important work. In fact, Paul notices very interesting. He says in the last phrase of verse 2 of Romans chapter 16, and of myself also. She probably had been used of the Lord to help Paul when he was on the run from something, or maybe he had been beaten, one of his many beatings when his back was left bare with blood and so forth, and she probably helped him, fixed his wounds up. We don't know, but she was a tremendous help. The next verse is verse 13 in the same chapter. Paul says, salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother, and mine. Very interesting, and mine. The Apostle Paul made a reference to Rufus and to Rufus's mother and mine. And we can thus imagine that this woman, in a special way, exerted extra motherly ministrations towards Paul. She provided repair for worn clothes, washed his clothes, cooking and feeding him, getting him to bed to get rest, and ministering healing medicines after Paul's many hardships, and encouraging him emotionally, much as a mother would a son who had endured Paul's hardships of being repeatedly shipwrecked or beaten or stoned and suffering hunger, thirst, cold, and nakedness. Paul mentions a number of these privations that he experienced in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 24 through 27. And of course, this would have left a lot of scars on the man. He would have been fatigued by the time he came across other Christians, and he really would have needed help. But let me just read about some of these privations that Paul experienced. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24 and following. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes except one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. That's, in other words, he was floating out in the ocean. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the Gentiles, perils in the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, that would be insomnia, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. It's amazing the sufferings of the Apostle Paul. And my grandmother was this type of a woman. If I came in or someone else came in, even a grown man came in and he was hurting, and she'd say, now listen, you sit down there, and she would just basically, you know, like treat him like a mother and order him around. You sit down, you've been running around here enough, you need some rest. Let me get a meal for you. No, I won't hear. You sit down, you know. And she would just insist, and the way she would go. My grandma was quite dominant, Grandma Michelle. But she had a heart of gold, and she would serve and minister to people this way who were in need. She took it upon herself to lead up the nursery in our church. And she knew every single baby that was there, and she was always giving advice to young mothers. And it was good advice, because Grandma had children, and she had worked with children. But this is the type of a person. This was a mother who adopted the Apostle Paul as a son and treated him as a son and helped him. And this was a ministry, and Paul acknowledged it, and he wanted her to be greeted. The last passage we're looking at is 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And this passage speaks of the very special self-initiated ministry of the household or the family, oikia, of Stephanas, which included the ministries of the ladies of the household and the family of necessity. Let's read the verses. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, This is 1 Corinthians 16:15. You know the house of Stephanas, that is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints, that you submit yourselves unto such, unto everyone that helps with us and labors with us. Okay, this household had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. The King James word addicted comes from the Greek word tasso, and tasso means to appoint or devote oneself to. These people had appointed themselves. They took it upon themselves to be responsible for this issue. It's like someone, remember I mentioned in the sermon this morning, there was a lady, or in the Sunday school class, there was a lady who came to us years ago. She had attended a church. She said, "Pastor, I love to pull weeds. Do you mind if I go around pulling weeds around the church?" I said, "Lady, you can pull weeds all day long and all night long if you want. You can start outside my office if you want. Go for it." And she did. She loved to pull weeds, loved to get them out. She loved to leave the garden clean. But she appointed herself. She would come down here at any time during the week and devote herself just to pulling weeds. That's it. She said, "I'm not good at flowers, but I'm good at pulling weeds." And so she did. She devoted herself to it. In other words, the ladies with the men in this family did a bunch of things. First of all, independent of any church official directing them to do so. And incidentally, this is what's happening increasingly at NEPOG. We've got a number of people, some of them men, some of them women, who will take it upon themselves to attack a certain need that they see and address it in the church. And number two, they had seen the needs of believers around them. They had felt burdened about those needs. And they had taken the initiative in the leading of the Spirit to assume responsible care for the diakonia. That would be the service or the aid or the support of such believers in need. Pete Hinman reported to me, he said, "Pastor, we've got 14 volunteers for the defibrillator, so we've got plenty of people." I said, "Yeah, that sounds great. That sounds like just about at any particular meeting that we have at the church, we're going to have somebody who's certified to use it." And that's great. 14 people in a church this size. That's wonderful. Now, according to their nurturing ministry, so aligned with God's will that believers exercise love and action for one another, that the Apostle Paul directed other believers to hupotasso them, that is to subject themselves to and to obey the house of Stephanas in their work. That's an amazing statement, that you submit yourselves unto such. If there is a person, whether it's a man or a woman, who has taken it upon themselves to devote themselves to a ministry of helping others, the rest of the church needs to rally around that person and actually follow their lead as to what's going on. Now, this happens actually very naturally. If we have someone like the Brunettis, they've taken it upon themselves to address situations back in the fellowship hall for putting a church dinner on or something. They take it upon themselves to do some things, and often they're the ones that are giving directions. And other people listen because the Brunettis know what they're doing. They used to be, I think, in a catering service many years ago. So they understand food and food prep. Mike's worked with food for many years. But this is exactly what should be going on. It's interesting how wonderful a ministry this is. The Apostle John wrote about it in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 and verse 16 to 18 in 1 John 3. He says, "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, that we ought to also lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso has this world's material good and sees his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." In other words, our love needs to be translated into action. And that's what Paul is saying here. So the ladies in this household would likely have been involved in this service or this aid or the support of the needy. So their efforts of taking the initiative to meet food, clothing, housing, laundry, etc. needs put them in the ranks of being honored to where other believers were to make room for them to continue their ministries and even to help them address the needs of fellow believers. This household was likely functioning much like a contemporary food pantry or soup kitchen might do so today, but it was a household that was doing it. It's interesting, Christians haven't changed over the centuries. They still have a heart and a burden for helping people who are around. And we have a food pantry here. and that food pantry addresses needs. So the biblical ministries of Phoebe, Rufus's mother, and the ladies of Stephanas' household show that God honors Christian women who independently, even of church leaders, take note of believers around them who suffer emotional or material lack and who feel burdened about addressing their needs so as to take the initiative under the Holy Spirit's empowering to assume responsible care and provide the service, the aid, the support, the protection, or motherly attentive needed to meet the needs of such people. And by the way, as I was reading that, I also think there's another area. I know one of our members, Chris Slade, has been burdened about ladies and having a Bible study for ladies as a need. And so she's taken that upon herself to do that as a minister. That's another area of need. Not only in areas of material needs, sometimes there are needs in regards to instruction and or fellowship for women. And sometimes in ladies' Bible studies, ladies often feel free to open up and to fellowship with ladies where they might not feel comfortable, maybe in a Sunday school class of mixed adults and so forth. That's wonderful if they can have that kind of a ministry. It's very, very important. So, you know, we're not seeking to limit this just to what these ladies are doing. There are lots of things that we can do to serve the Lord. So an application, if God calls us as Christian women to lay ministrations, may we rely on the Holy Spirit to be sensitive to real needs in Christ's body that we can address as women, so as to take the initiative to address these needs to edify those in need. In so doing, God will move to provide helpers and supportiveness, even from church leaders, for such an effective ministry that fulfills the law of Christ. John 13:35 says, if you love me, you will, if you follow, obey my commandments, you'll love one another. And 1 John 3:16 to 18 talks about loving one another and helping one another's needs. 1 year when I was in college, I was going to a Christian school, a Christian college, Warner Pacific College. It was in Portland, Oregon. I was getting some courses there under my belt so that I could go back to Multnomah School of the Bible and get my degree. I was in my, I was 26 years of age, I think, or 25 years of age at the time. And I got involved with a quartet, a male quartet that was there. I wasn't singing, but I was sort of the coach with these guys. And also I was a speaker, and I was supposed to speak. We had a presentation the quartet gave at the student body, and I got up and I did the speaking. And we had a good time with the ministry there. And it was interesting. There, a couple of days after that, there was a girl on campus. And I had never talked to this girl before. I never talked to her after that. She came up to me, and without having a mutual conversation, she came up to me and she said, "Don, I appreciated your ministry of the Bible the other night." She said, "I sense that you do have an ability in the area of speaking, and I would recommend that you look in that area as to the Lord's using you in your life." And then she just walked off. And that was the only conversation we ever had. Come to find out, she was doing this all over campus. She was concerned. She was a very devout Christian girl, and she was concerned about the development of male leaders in the church in that day. And so she was taking it upon herself in a very discreet way to go around, and if she felt that there was someone who needed encouragement in an area, especially a young man, she would encourage him. When we got to the end of the school year, there was one fella that she had helped. He was kind of a quiet guy, kind of a shy guy. He was not a leader of any kind, but apparently she had sensed in him the need for real encouragement. So she'd come alongside and said, "Look, I believe in you. I believe you can really develop as a man someday, so I encourage you with it." And because of her help with him, he finished up the year doing well in his schoolwork and succeeding, and he got up in front of the entire student body and he thanked her. It was a really moving moment. Thanked her for what she had done and encouraging him so he could go on and walk with the Lord. Now this girl, she didn't have any boyfriends. I don't think, wasn't that type of a thing at all. She was just a very committed Christian who was concerned about seeing the development of male leadership, and she was going to do everything that she could in her power to encourage men to do that. Now, she had a real impression, left an impression with me and other men, and encouraged me. I don't even know her name. I've forgotten. It's been years since I was at Warner Pacific College. It was back in 1971, I think it was. But she had a tremendous impact. So I want you ladies, whether you're young ladies or not, or girls who are going to become young ladies, or ladies who are more experienced and older and more mature and so forth, I want you to be encouraged. You can have a tremendous amount of influence. God has put you in a unique position as people who are helpers. You can help other people in the body, but you can help by encouraging other people who maybe are in more visible positions of leadership. You can actually make them more effective and better by the kind of help that you want to be. So don't think that you cannot be useful to the Lord. You're very important. I think that every single, in fact, there was a book that was written by Francis Schaeffer entitled No Little People. And it's very true. There are no little people. There are no insignificant people in God's program. Every person, every Christian is a significant Christian. And God wants to use every Christian for his glory.